What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. As usual, we're going to do our 5 to 10 minute show. Very quick show this morning. Got the wife coming home with the baby. I'm about to go on daddy duty. So not a lot of time here to get this done. But hello, everybody, and this is my new recurring version of Laying the Points, live shows on Twitter, and then I will put it as a podcast as well. 5 to 10 minutes, most shows, 10 to 15, maybe some shows, but no longer than 15 minutes because I know you got to get on with your busy day. It's the NBA. So we want to move through these pretty quickly. We will do a few of these throughout the week. Stay tuned for myself, Noops, Sean Green on the BetUS NBA show tomorrow and Wednesday at high noon. And of course, you can always check out my free plays at sportswagers.ca. You can also visit sportswagers.live, where we have some new banners over there where you can get even better sign-up bonuses on some domestic books. Okay, with that, in case you don't know, my name is Chris Farley. 5 years as a professional bettor now, 2021 Circa winner, over 120 units won in the NBA and NFL the last three seasons. And we continue to have success in the NBA playoffs. A little bit of disappointment this past weekend on Saturday. The Timberwolves and Knicks. I took them both in the first quarter in those games. The Knicks almost dominate the rest of the game. The third quarter was a little awry for the Knicks, but they lose the first quarter. The Timberwolves dominate from the second quarter to the fourth quarter, and the game also lose the first quarter. So I chose the wrong angle. I thought both teams at home would come out hot. I was on the right side, right? Knicks and Timberwolves both looked really good. But ultimately those were our two big bets on Saturday and they both lost. But yesterday, 3-2 plus 1.96 units, still around 15 units up on the season. Can't be mad about up 15 units, right? But we want to get up even more as this season comes to an end, because that's what we've done pretty much every season on end since we've been a professional. Okay, let's get to some of these games. Let me clickety click here, because I'm just going to touch on today's games and tomorrow's games very briefly and go over some of my thoughts. I don't know how many official picks I'm going to have on this show. Probably none, if I'm being honest, because I'm not quite there yet. But let me just sift through my thoughts as I talk through it here. First, Magic and Cavaliers. We saw how low scoring that game was on Saturday. The Magic something like 36% from the field. The Cavs 44%. Both teams under 30% from beyond the arc. Just every shot was difficult, right? And I think both of these defenses can succeed against the other. They're both just very good, very stingy in the front court and the back court, both long, both physical, and we can expect more of the same in this matchup. It just feels like to me watching the game that the Cavs are maybe the version of the Orlando Magic that we'll see next year or the season after that, right? Like the Cavs were kind of the new dog in the house last season, maybe before that a little bit, getting better and better. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell enhanced what they can do. But the Magic, this is a big spot for them. They did really well this season, but it might be too big of a spot at Cleveland for a second game in a row now. I would lean Cleveland at -5.5. See that line kind of going up a little bit. It was at 5. I would also, again, lean to the under. I'm not taking either one of those just yet, but I think maybe a money line parlay and the under on Cleveland, or maybe a money line parlay of Cleveland and maybe Denver is not a bad way to look tonight. And we'll get to Denver in a second. 76ers and the Knicks. So that was a weird game on Saturday because, like I said, the Knicks lost the first quarter, much to our chagrin. But then they win the second quarter handedly, and then the third quarter, Philly wins. The fourth quarter, the Knicks win. So at the end of each half, right, like going into the locker room, the Knicks were always feeling good about themselves, and they showed that resiliency, especially in Madison Square Garden, right, especially with how good that defense can be, and Jalen Brunson and some of their contributors, Josh Hart nailing a big shot at the end. The Knicks know how to rise to the occasion. They're a tough team, a gritty team. People talk shit about Tom Thibodeau. He's obviously not a bad coach because they believe in their culture there. They all kind of, I mean, they seem very in sync as a team. Like they all kind of have the same attitude. Now the 76ers, right, they came into that contest winning 8 in a row, and now they're 6-point dogs. So I think this game could shift a little bit. I kind of like the Knicks early again. I don't know if I'm going to bet it because of how I got beat last time, but I think the Knicks don't make the same mistake at the beginning of this game. But I do think that plus six, there's too many points for a 76ers team that's very good, that just won eight in a row, finally lost one, but they do not want to go down 0-2 to the New York Knicks. That's a tough deficit to come back from against a defense as good as New York and against a New York team that's now healthier than they've been all season. Obviously, Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey and the whole crew will, you would think, be trying their damnedest tonight. Sometimes we see weird games, even in the playoffs, where teams, not that they take the night off, but they're just not all there. This isn't going to be that spot for the good teams tonight, right? Even the Lakers and Nuggets, I'll move on to them, but I'll just say 76ers is the way that I lean, and 76ers and Knicks, 76ers plus six full game, like the Knicks early, and I still do lean to the under, too. I think they got fortunate. Both teams got fortunate in that game on Saturday that score went over. 206.5, it's remaining right there under 210 for a good reason. I think the defense really tightens up in this second matchup, as you know, obviously 76ers don't want to go 0-2, right? So it's a little more desperate in that sense. Lakers and Nuggets. Nuggets deserve the 7.5 designation. They've been whooping up the Lakers now for what? It's like 8 or 9 straight times in a row. I just think the Nuggets match up well against the Lakers, and they proved that in the third quarter, right? Like, the Lakers came out really hot. LeBron James scoring at will, three-pointer to end the half. I had a great bet on the Nuggets money line to win the first half. I at least would have got a push, but of course LeBron James nails like a 35-footer to end the half. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? But it was what it was. Lakers did a really good job in the first half, but Denver at home, they just seem to have LA's number, and I'm not sure if I can support the Lakers in any regard here, but I will say plus 7.5 is a big spread for, again, a team that knows how to step up, a team of veterans with the Lakers. I mean, at least LeBron and Anthony Davis and some of the other guys. And it's more desperate, right? Like, this is, you don't want to go 0-2 against the champs. So if there's any game where I think the Lakers could cover a spread like this at Denver, it is tonight. I'm not quite there yet. Suns and Timberwolves. I love the way the Timberwolves rose to the occasion in the last game after a shaky first quarter, just completely took over. Anthony Edwards, that moment he had with Kevin Durant, reminded me of Jordan. It reminded me of Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant, like the days where you saw these guys in the 90s, early 2000s, et cetera, just tough, in your face, don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. They know that they're good. They know they're the man. And that's where Anthony Edwards is going. Like, his star power is rising, and I love the moxie in moments like that. He's only, what, 21 years old? Maybe 22, if I'm mistaken. I think he's 21. I mean, the kid is so young, and he's that much of a savage. I think the Timberwolves at home just continue to do what they do best. Their defense on the perimeter is going to be really frustrating for the Phoenix Suns and their shooters throughout this series. That's the advantage that they have. Suns have played good defense in spots, but it's not consistent, and they are not the physical team that Minnesota is. Like I said in some of my write-ups this weekend, the fact that Minnesota went 0-3 against the Suns during the regular season is kind of fake news, right? There were circumstances happening in all those games. They were just, I don't know if this is the real representation of what happens between these two teams, and we saw that on Saturday. Timberwolves dominating the Suns at home eventually for three quarters, so impressive by the Timberwolves. Still lean Minnesota in that one. All 8 favorites won this weekend, by the way. Home favorites. I mean, that's kind of boring, but maybe somebody had a parlay on one of those teams. That'd be awesome. Pacers and Bucks. Pacers were the team that really got me down yesterday. I had the Pacers winning the game. I had the first quarter going over. I thought the Pacers would really attack the Bucks and go fast-paced. They kind of settled in and tried to be a little more methodical at the beginning of that game. Not sure what that was all about. Didn't like it. Kind of playing to Milwaukee's strengths, even without Giannis. And we saw the result. And, you know, I don't really know what to think of that series moving forward. I kind of want to support the Pacers in game two because I still don't trust Glenn, Doc Rivers, and the Bucks game to game. But this one's tough. And this next one is tough as well. Was that what we're going to see from the Clippers every game? Are the Clippers kind of back? Is this playoff Clippers? Because I think we do have to look at Ty Lue in the Clippers organization as kind of a Heat culture light, right? Like they might not be there yet to Heat culture and Spoelstra and, you know, but at the, they do know how to elevate. They do know how to improve their defense, especially in the playoffs. And we saw that against a Mavericks offense that had been absolutely on fire leading into the postseason. They kept them down like real low, what, 32 points, 30 points in the first half, 8 points by the Mavericks in the second quarter. I mean, that doesn't happen just because the Mavericks can't shoot. The Clippers defense, they know how to step up. Kind of want to support the Clippers again because I think the truest version of these two teams is what we saw. But James Harden in the playoffs, we might see a dip. And Mavericks pretty good are going to want to come back in that one. Mavericks still favored in that game too, probably because they're thinking that Kawhi is going to be out. But Clippers still pretty good without Kawhi, guys. I still like the under in that one. I think 218.5 is too high. Still like the under in Pacers Bucks. I think 224.5 is too high. No official plays yet. Look out for official plays from me, posting it on Twitter and writing it up at sportswagers.ca. Laying the points with Farley Betts, everybody. Let me click and see if there's any commentary. I don't see any. Thank you for joining. I will be back probably on Thursday because I got the BetUS show Tuesday and Wednesday. Stay tuned for this. I'll put it out in podcast. Farley Betts, let's win some damn money. We out of here.